Fellow Freedom fans, thank you for tuning in to the Eagle 104.3 FM. I am David Allen Carmichael. This is my Faith and Freedom Show on the Liberty Works Radio Network. Did you hear me clear my throat? You know why I cleared my throat? It's a free country. That's why I cleared my throat. It's a free country, man. This is a free country. And last week, I think it was last week, I'm getting over 40 mentalityism. We did a Ronald Reagan clip. That's what it was. And I found all these things, and they were different audio clips from Ronald Reagan. And one of them was Death Valley Days. I had never seen Death Valley Days. Obviously, it wasn't incredibly popular. What makes me think of that is I was raised in East L.A., and Northeast L.A., Echo Park District. And then we moved to Atwater District. That was a significant step up. And I never did lose my lunch money, by the way. You know, I was asked and accosted on the way to school to give up my lunch money. Never happened, man. Never happened. Yeah, it was gang-ridden, so it was kind of interesting. I didn't fit in with the crowd, per se. So I did get accosted a few times, but I never gave up my lunch money. Speaking of Ronald Reagan, that's really where I was going with this. I saw part of the show. It was a movie called Born in East L.A. I saw part of it. I know I saw part of it. And there was this time where he was raided, and he was looking for his cousin or something like that. This guy, Cheech Marin, was looking for his cousin in some sweatshop, and it was raided by, I guess, immigration guys or something like that, guys in green. And as they pull up to Cheech Marin and they ask him, they say, "Hey, where were you born?" He says, "Man, I was born in East L.A. I was born in East L.A., man, I was." And he says, "Oh, sure, we've heard that. We've heard that before. Where's your green card?" "Man, I don't have no green card. I was born in East L.A. And he says, "Okay, well, then who's the president of the United States?" Obviously, this movie was in the 80s. And so this is his response. "Oh, man, I know that guy. Yeah, he's in the Death Valley Days, John Wayne." So he didn't answer the question properly. He had the right actor, wrong name, right? Death Valley Days. So it was Ronald Reagan. He got ported off to Mexico. That was Born in East L.A. I did see part of that. I don't know what happened the rest of the movie, but I think I probably was in the Navy. I saw a lot of about 5 minutes, about a dozen movies while I was in the Navy. You'd be walking by the mess decks, and that's where they would have the movies. And so I might have been on watch at night, and the movie was playing, and I walked by to get a cup of coffee and paused a few minutes and caught a couple of good lines. So that's where I get my little influence, my character influence, my cultural character influence comes from East Los Angeles, California.
We had a pre-recorded message last week, and actually it was a really good one. I was sitting at home listening to these shows. Every now and then I do that. I review what I'm doing. I listen to other people's shows, and we're always trying to hone our skills. And I heard the show last week, and I decided to do the one we did last week just because it was good stuff. You can find out about it and listen to it on www.faithfreedoms.net. That's where our podcast is. Also, if you want to send any comments to us, there's a blog input there on faithfreedoms.net. So I gave you a pre-recorded message because I had a speaking engagement that was due on Friday and some other things that were emergent that had to be taken care of, and I had to do it on Thursday. And it was in preparation, most of it was in preparation for the trip on Friday. I spoke to a Reformed Presbyterian men's group on the topic, church and state, separate, both subject to religion. That was the topic. Of course, anytime you'd like me to come speak to your group, give us a call at 757-850-1245 and get a hold of me. Today, I want to be talking about a couple of things that were in the news. I did a review on the news. I do a review on the news every time we're going to do a show, and trying to find things that I can bring in on a constitutional or biblical basis of right versus wrong. I went through things and it was just kind of crazy. There's not a lot of things going on. I saw a lot of things that are going on with the FAA. FAA agents are not actually performing their duty. And it seems there are some accusations that they're partnering with the people they're trying to inspect. And so that's not real good because you're starting to overlook safety issues. And that makes for a lot of problems. That makes for people dying. So it's very important. I thought that was in the news. I thought that was important that they remember what their purpose is. And I'm glad that somebody's taking action on that. I don't fly often, but, you know, I care about those people that do. As I continued to search, I came across some things that were not in the mainstream news source. I said on other shows that you wonder who it is that decides what news we're going to hear. Well, it's business interest. If you really think about it, news media organization, they are commercial activities, and they have stockholders, and they have a desire to make money. And some of those stockholders are very wealthy people who have stock in other enterprises. So sometimes those people have influence over what goes on in the news are people who want to have influence on what's happening in the rest of their business. So you never know why something is particularly in the news and other things aren't. So I had to kind of go to some, just really chase down sources from wherever I could get it that was outside the mainstream news. I tried to go to the BBC. I went to Australia. Anything. I don't speak any other language, so it'd be hard for me to search anything that was not English. I finally found a couple of things that I thought were actually very fascinating and very troubling. I've got a couple articles I want to talk about because it's important. One of the things that I've noticed in life, in my own life, is that we're not paying attention to our civic duty. We don't get our civic duty. We don't understand it. The only time we're really concerned about law is if somebody tries to sue us instead of looking at as law and government as a mechanism to love our neighbor as ourselves and to encourage one another to do love and good works. And sometimes we need to encourage each other by just reminding each other what the law of the land is. And it's actually quite encouraging. As I was, before I go to this article, I was just looking over the Virginia Constitution, noticing some words in there about all power is vested in the people. And it hit me. Those guys understood there's a difference between power and authority. And I thought, about the Bible. And I'm not going to go there now, but all of a sudden I realized that there was times in the Bible where there was a differentiation between the use of the word authority and the use of the word power. So I want to talk about that later, but that's going to be with the discussion of the Virginia Constitution. Let me go now to what's going on in China. And based on what I've seen going on in China, those people are having the Olympics. There's some really horrific things going on where they're collecting people that are young, healthy, vibrant, and putting them in jail and finding reasons to cite them with a crime that might kill them and making sure when they check into jail that they're having a thorough medical examination. They're examining their eyes and their lungs and their blood and all kinds of other things. And then what they do is they find a good way to have a trial so that they can be found guilty of a capital crime. And then sometimes instead of killing them, what they do is they take their organs out of their bodies while they're still alive. And those organs are being sold at kind of a cheap price compared to what you might have to pay for it some other means. But that way people can just kind of fly into China, hang out for maybe a couple of days or a couple of weeks and suddenly have an organ. I have a story here that I noticed that didn't talk about that, but it talked about a Christian man in China who's currently in jail. This, it says, I'm going to go ahead and read this because this is very important. I want you to listen to this. Uyghur Christian faith, he's a Uyghur. Oh, he's Uyghur. It's actually an area of China. It's a Turkic people, I believe, on a certain province of China. It's a Christian man. He faces possible execution for subversion of national government. Now, we're going to find out what this guy did that was subversive. And you know what he did? He acted like he was an American. As I'm reading this, he acted as if he understood right from wrong, that he loved his country, that he loved the law of the land, and he was trying to hold his non-law-abiding officers of the law. He was trying to hold them accountable to the law of the land because, you know, when you profess Jesus Christ as Lord and he says, all authority has been given unto me, and you read the New Testament, it says, be subject to the governing authorities, you know, you take that stuff seriously. Now, let's see what happens to somebody who does that and really is acting as a model citizen in China. Oh, by the way, he doesn't give bribes to the local guys that come by and ask for money. while he's running his business. I wonder if that has something to do with it. Let me see what it says. Christian Newswire, China Aid Association has learned that Mr. Ulumujiang Yimiti, a Uyghur Christian and father of two, may soon face execution. Official charged Ulumujiang last September with illegal religious activities and took him into custody this January. Illegal religious activities. Accusing him of subversion of the national government and endangering national security. What kind of illegal religious activity could you do to subvert the national government and endangering national society? I can't figure it out. I mean, there are some religious activities that you know, require people to kill infidels and stuff like that. And I think that is subversive of the national government and endangering national security. But this guy's a Christian. He's supposed to be loving his neighbor as himself. Let's continue. A crime punishable by death, this subversion crime. Officials are expected to announce Ulumujiang's sentence by the end of April. Charges such as committing crimes against the state or revealing state secrets are commonly leveled against anyone considered to be an enemy of the state. Ulumujiang's family fears he will be found guilty of such crimes and subjected to capital punishment. Ulumujiang is neither a separatist nor a terrorist, local sources say. He has told officials many times during interrogation, many interrogations, by the way, as a Christian, he loves and supports the Chinese government, something many young Uyghurs struggle with as Han Chinese culture becomes increasingly dominant in Xinjiang. There's Turkic peoples in this part of China, and there's these Han Chinese that are starting to take dominion, I guess, and there's some conflict there. Now, Mr. Ulumujiang, as a loyal Chinese citizen and business entrepreneur, Ulumujiang has held to high standards, paying his taxes faithfully, and watch this, avoiding a common local custom of paying bribes for business favors. He is also that's Christian. He's got an ethic. He's got a right versus wrong mentality. And the problem is, if you come to a place where you submit yourself to the leading of the Lord Jesus Christ, you know what happens? You start getting a conscience and you start acting upon it, even to your hurt. That's faith, guys. That's called conviction. Let me keep reading. He has also done his best to assimilate into Chinese culture, making the unusual decision to send his children to a Chinese language school in a predominantly Uyghur area. Friends say that Ulumujiang simply wants the freedom to quietly express his faith, a right guaranteed to him in the Chinese constitution. I'll say that you hear rhetoric from the Chinese trying to convince us that they have freedom of religion and there's all these, you know, equal rights and all this kind of stuff. They're trying to convince us something that may not have a basis in truth. Currently, I'll go on to read. Currently, however, it is illegal for Ulumujiang to own a Uyghur Bible. He cannot own. It's illegal. It's against the law for him to have the contraband of a Bible in his language. He is also unable to attend services at any, they call it the Three Self Church in Xinjiang, due to articles in the Xinjiang constitution that contradict China's national constitution. Neither can he pray with foreign Christians. He's not allowed to. If I go to China, guess what? He's not supposed to have any faith communication with me. And we have to be very mindful of this. You know, go ye into all the world.
We're going to take a break, but this is an important issue, folks. We have to really be conscious of what we're doing and why we're doing it and where we're doing it. Do we want to wear a cloak? Are you hiding behind something? When you go to work, do people know about you, know your character? I will tell you, if you take a little bit of courage, let your freedom be in proportion to your faith. If you'd go out and do something and profess your faith to people and just explain your position, what'll happen is people will hold you accountable. They'll hold you to that higher standard. You'll actually be able to reach the higher standard. So I encourage you to do that. Thank you for listening. We'll be back with this Liberty Works Radio Network on the Eagle 104.3 FM. We'll be back.